When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show, Thursday edition of the program. Got a ton of topics that we are rolling through. Joe Biden going to address the nation at 5 Eastern, making more requirements for COVID, including expanding the federal vaccine mandate, encouraging as many private companies as he can. Ron DeSantis fighting back. We've discussed that. The NFL returns. I like the contrast between Biden issuing COVID restrictions and meanwhile, 70,000 Tampa Bay Buccaneer fans are going to show up. Going to be the biggest crowd for an NFL game since the Super Bowl all the way back in Miami in February of 2020 before all this chaos started about 18 months ago. We still got to get into Larry Elder having a egg thrown at him by a white woman wearing a gorilla mask. Can you imagine if that had happened to, I don't know, Kamala Harris or to Stacey Abrams? It would be a sign of rampant white supremacy. It happens to a black conservative. Nobody cares. It's amazing how stories like that get memory hold. The Robert E. Lee statue being removed and the craziness that surrounded that. But and also critical race theory. And Google and what they are instructing their employees. Encourage you to go make sure you don't miss anything that we discussed in the first hour. But Howard Stern is a radio legend. And certainly Buck Sexton and I know, having taken over for a radio legend, about how much talent you have to have over decades in order to build up a big audience. But Howard Stern is now 67 years old. And he made his name for himself by being wildly anti-convention, by being willing to say and do outrageous things to point out the hypocrisies that exist in our society. And there were many people who appreciated the fact that he was outlandish, that he was a crusader for First Amendment freedoms. And certainly that is my experience with Howard Stern over time. That is what I respected about him. But now that he's in his 60s, and maybe this will happen to us one day, Buck, when we're old and we've been doing this for a lot longer than we have now, but he has turned into the man. I mean, it's really kind of crazy, Buck. I listen to the show every now and then and because my wife had enjoyed listening to it, but he's really lost his mind during COVID, and he has become Dr. Fauci-like in his COVID fear porn sharing, in his constant hiding in his basement. I guess it's a penthouse that he has somewhere in New York City. He's become the exact opposite of a revolutionary. He has become the man. And there's a particular level. We talked about this earlier this week, Buck, with Joe Rogan. There's a particular type of left winger now. A person who not only is constantly morally righteous and hectoring and lecturing you over their choices, but also wanting other people who don't make those same choices to die. I mean, this is really where we are, and exalting when someone dies. And this is, I want to play this clip, Buck. I mean, you get this feeling, right? I mean, that this is very commonplace, but most people are not being as explicit in rooting for people who don't get the vaccine to die as Howard Stern was. This is what he said on his show, I believe, yesterday. Let's play cut one.
Really funny when the radio guys are the best. There were like four of them died. Four of them who were like ranting on the air, they will not get vaccinated. They were on fire, these guys. It was like day after day, they were all dying. And then their dying words are, I wish I had been more into the vaccine. I wish I had taken it. And they're on the radio preaching this. I tell you what, as far as I remember, when I went to school, you had to get a measles vaccine. You had to get a mumps vaccine. You had to get, there was a ton of them you got. When are we going to stop putting up with the idiots in this country and just say, you now, it's mandatory to get vaccinated. Their freedom. I want my freedom to live.
Unbelievable, Clay, but this is what is happening now across the country. You have people who are, look, Howard Stern is an elite. The guy makes something like $100 million a year to do radio, which is pretty astonishing as a figure. And he is someone who has gotten used to being able to not only say what he wants, but also have a certain kind of influence. And maybe he's forgotten that there are a lot of people out there for whom there are not big platforms and voices that will make the case for them. But even beyond that, that anybody would celebrate the death of a fellow human being, never mind a fellow radio host, because they disagree with the decision that they made about their health. People do foolish things all the time, right? And by the way, I'm not even saying that vaccine opposition is foolish, but I'm just saying there are things that are clearly bad decisions that result in people losing their lives, you know,
smoking, health
decisions,
alcoholism,
all kinds of things.
I mean, we could run through obesity.
You know, when someone
many things that aid death.
When someone dies in a drunk driving accident, and they're the driver, right? They're the drunk person. Yeah, that's terrible. It's a tragedy. You don't celebrate these things unless there's something morally rotten, unless there's something truly wrong with you. But this has become, you know, you see this with COVID. You see this with Stern saying this stuff. The number of people that will. And I'm talking about people with platforms and followings. I'm not talking about random. Of course, there's random, horrible bile all over the internet. People that have supposedly an obligation to be better on the left, who will celebrate the assault on Rand Paul, for example, where he, I believe, lost a piece of his lung, was in horrible pain because he had a neighbor who hated him. And the people who say this, they don't like Rand Paul's politics. So him almost being beaten to death on his front lawn, Rand Paul's a father, a husband, as well as a U.S. senator. There are blue check journos who think this is funny. I mean, if you, Clay, right now with your Twitter account, if you just said, man, I'm glad Rand Paul, you know, made it through and we're happy to have him on. If you went through the comments, you'd probably see some people saying, oh, that was so funny when what happened to him. There are even people, they're a little more circumspect about this, who try to downplay the assault on the attempted mass murder of American congressmen, conservative members of Congress at that baseball field in Alexandria, because they'll say, oh, well, this is what happens when you oppose policies to give people health care. This stuff exists on the left in a way that I think people are uncomfortable the more they think about it, because not only is it grotesque, it just exists. It's allowed to continue on.
Yeah. And what's interesting about this to me from the Stern perspective is let's say somebody was driving drunk, right? Would you celebrate if they died while they were driving drunk and be like, I'm so glad that drunk driver died. I'm glad they hit a telephone pole. Serves them right for driving drunk. Ha ha. Look at those idiots. They thought they could get behind the wheel after having a drink, too many drinks, and now they're dead, and I'm happy about it. I'm going to be gleeful about it. Now, I mean, that's really strange behavior. And what we've created, and Stern just said it explicitly, because there's a lot of people out there that have been cheering anytime somebody gets sick. I mean, look, the reality, Buck, we've both had COVID.
Did people ask you, Clay, like, as if you did something that people ask me, I mean, random like, people be like, hey, what'd you do? Did you go to some anti-mask, anti-Fauci party and make out with a bunch of strangers? Why'd you get COVID? I'm like, I just was living my life and got COVID.
What I would point out here is, and I would love to hear somebody like Howard Stern try to discuss this. It reminds me of, you remember Eddie Murphy? It's either Raw or one of the first ones he did where he had all of the anti-AIDS jokes about gay people. And look, the Eddie Murphy stand-up back in the day, the 1980s stuff, was phenomenal. But that didn't age well, right? Because the idea was, oh, ha ha, look at you. You got AIDS because you're gay. You got AIDS because you were using intravenous drugs with other people. And like, there was this argument, hey, maybe you deserved it, right? Do you remember that? Like, if you're old enough to remember when AIDS and HIV was running rampant, much through the gay community, but then also a lot of discussion for heterosexuals getting it. You didn't practice safe sex. Like when I was a kid growing up, we had, it felt like, an HIV AIDS assembly like every week where they were like, hey, if you have sex, basically you're going to die.
I remember watching Beverly Hills 90210, yes. And the whole episode was about some young high school girl who was saying that she got HIV from her boy. You know, this was a thing. This was a story that you would hear.
And there was an underpinning early on of anti-AIDS morality, right? Where, hey, if you got this virus, you deserved it because of the choices you were making. And in retrospect, as AIDS spread and HIV became more and more of a disease and we understood it better, the idea that you would, what I call, blame the victim of this virus, became a very foreign thing to do. It seems to me, and I would love like the Howard Sterns of the world who are making this argument to reflect upon this, if they had said and if they were saying the same thing about HIV and AIDS victims, basically they deserve it. Years later, decades later, you realize how bad that sounded and how bad you looked for saying it. And since there's this obsession with being on the right side of history now, Buck, how is this not the exact same thing with COVID when you're cheering and celebrating people who get a virus that they didn't choose to get, partly because of choices that they may have made in their life, and say, hey, this is divine retribution for the choices that you're making? It's a really poor position as it ages. And I think that's what's going to happen here. And I would think that people like Stern, who fancy themselves to be rebellious, thoughtful, and intelligent thinkers, would look at this and say, man, I'm now making the same arguments about COVID that people made about HIV in, I don't know, 1984, and 1986, and 1988, and that's going to look really bad in 20 years. Maybe they don't care, but it's something that I would love to hear an analysis of from an intelligent, thoughtful perspective. I don't know that we'll ever get it, but it's worth contemplating. And in the meantime, what do I need to do here? I'm going to tell you all about taking care of let's see here, Buck. I'm going to tell you all about my friends at Texas Superfood. We talk all the time about making smart, healthy decisions. If we've learned anything since 2020, it's that there's nothing quite as important as a powerful immune system. Over 20 years ago, Dr. Dennis Black of Texas invented Texas Superfood. It is the original superfood. I met Dr. Black years ago when I started taking Texas Superfood, and Buck, you have as well. I know now that it has 55 vine-ripened fruits and vegetables, plus probiotics and digestive enzymes. You can build your body's defenses from the inside out. I have learned how important your immune system is and that its job is to detect, deflect, and destroy bacteria you come in contact with. Your grandmother told you to eat your fruits and veggies, but with busy schedules and fast food, most people don't. So what should they be doing, Buck?
Well, you should be taking Texas Superfood, because if you can't, won't, or don't eat all your fruits and vegetables every day, Texas Superfood was made for you. Start boosting your immune system for under $2 a day. Go to TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55. That's TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck. Man, Clay was on a roll a second ago there on why no one should ever fall into the moral rot of, first of all, celebrating when anyone dies from any disease, but certainly not during this COVID era because of politics and because of what people are now making a highly politicized and tribalized situation when it just should not be. But speaking of politics and the tribalism therein, sometimes it's important to learn from your enemy, in a sense, right? You want to learn, see what the other side does. Case in point, you know, when Democrats come in, they will demand that there is a mass firing of U.S. attorneys when a new Democrat administration comes in. They'll fire whoever they want to fire to make sure their people are in place. Republicans, there'll always be some Republicans. Oh, no, that's not the way we should do it. We don't fight dirty like they fight dirt. Well, that doesn't necessarily lead to the outcomes we want. I give you a situation here where they're throwing punches. And while it's gross, I say, just remind yourself, folks, this is when they have the power. This is how they play the game. You have Trump loyalists who are being now. That's the way it's being described in NPR. I'll just say people who were associated with the Trump administration, many of whom have longstanding service to the nation apart from the Trump situation or the Trump administration. This White House, Biden White House, sent letters to 18 people named to the boards of visitors for the Air Force Academy, Military Academy, Naval Academy, saying you will resign by the end of business Wednesday or be terminated. This is according to the Associated Press. Donald Trump made these appointments during his final months in office. Here is, for example, a moment in time where you see Clay. They have no problem. They have no problem with playing rough. Here's Jen Psaki straight up defending this 20.
The president's objective is what any president's objective is to ensure you have nominees and people serving on these boards who are qualified to serve on them and who are aligned with your values. I will let others evaluate whether they think Kellyanne Conway and Sean Spicer and others were qualified or not political to serve on these boards.
What do you make of all this, Clay? I just see this as Democrats are like, you know what? We want to bust out the steamroller. That's what we do.
Yeah, I think there's a big truth to that. And, you know, some of the statements that were made, I mean, you can focus on, as Jen Psaki did, those individuals and say, oh, they were hyper-political, for lack of a better way, they deserved it. But the statement that I thought Megan Mobbs made, I don't know if you read this, but she said, she put out a statement when this all happened. She said, while I appreciate the notification, I won't be resigning. I find the whole act unconscionable and not in the spirit of which this administration promised to govern. This is really well said by her. President Biden ran on a supposed platform of unity, but his actions speak directly to the contrary. Apparently, unity is only for those who conform. When I joined the board under the Trump administration, there were holdovers from the Obama administration. They were not terminated, but instead served alongside Trump appointees. This mix of perspective, experience, and belief systems ensured there was diversity, a value the Democratic Party purports to hold above all else. As the youngest appointee, a woman, and a veteran in Afghanistan, has been a great honor to serve on the Board of Visitors at the United States Military Academy, my alma mater. It's tragic this great institution is now being subjected to and hijacked by partisan action that serves no purpose and no greater good. Props to Megan Mobbs, who shared that yesterday when all of this craziness started to come down.
Sean Spicer also fired back. Yeah. He said that he has served under five presidents and of both parties, and that politics has never entered into his service. Sean's a veteran.
Yeah.
And there was also H.R. McMaster, longtime veteran, very senior guy in the military. So there were people, Clay, who have had a history of bipartisan service. They're all just being tossed out. And look, is this making a huge difference in the future of the country? No. But it just goes to show you, in my sense of this, two takeaways. One, there's nothing that is too petty for the Democrats. And two, when they have the power, they use the power. Our side always wrings its hands and goes, oh, I don't know, the MSNBC will say mean things about us.
Final line here from Megan Mobbs. We have three watchwords at West Point: duty, honor, country. Today, the Biden administration violated them all.
Coming back here in a few moments, we'll be talking about the Robert E. Lee statue and also more updates on COVID and Biden's speech tonight. But, you know, carnivore trading is an elite group of Wall Street traders who are now revealing their real-time stock trades to us. Their information comes to subscribers all day, every day. You get to see their thinking and mirror their moves on Wall Street. I'm just one of their subscribers. I'm here to tell you how impressed I am with their results, which is why I follow Carnivore's advice in my trades. Take control of your portfolio now at Carnivore. This is where people with little to no trading experience can crush it in their spare time. Try it for 2 weeks free. See and mirror Carnivore's trades, or just watch and see how much you would have made and then put your cash to work. Visit GetOurTrades.com and use promo code USA. GetOurTrades.com, promo code USA. See website for terms and conditions. Past performance not a guarantee of future earnings.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. By the way, got a way for you to make a little bit of money. Go to FanDuel.com/Clay. With the NFL returning, Buck, you can bet $5 on any NFL team to win this week. And by the way, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, big favorite tonight over the Dallas Cowboys for a full stadium of action down in Tampa. You bet $5 at FanDuel.com/Clay. If you pick the right winner, and again, I would take the Bucs tonight, get back $200. All new users, brand new gambling, now legal sports gambling in Arizona. Buck, $5 turns into $200. That's 40-1 at FanDuel.com/Clay. Something to look forward to. With Ron DeSantis' Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he's a big Bucs fan, having a full stadium, first full stadium in the NFL since February of 2020.
And we just assume that Fauci is not going to have the same kind of problem with this game. I mean, if he was going to be consistent, which I don't think anyone believes that he cares about being particularly, I mean, we've seen him be inconsistent tons of times, wouldn't he have to give a stern lecture about, you know, it's unwise to have the people with their droplets in close quarters?
Yes, I think he's going to have to do it, and I think he's going to want to do it because the game's taking place in Florida.
And it allows him
to tee off on Ron DeSantis. So if I were predicting, first of all, he has to get asked the question, right? But there's going to be, you know, 15 million people or whatever it is watching this game tonight. There'll be 75,000-ish people inside the stadium. It'll be a major discussion point because all of the you know, COVID fear porn peddlers are going to say, oh my God, what a super spreader event. And I imagine Fauci will get asked about it and he'll use it as an opportunity to tee off on Ron DeSantis and the fact that the state of Florida has opened up. That's how I would predict this is going to go from a narrative perspective. Speaking of narrative perspectives, we were going to talk about this yesterday. We had so many stories, we didn't get to it. They pulled down the statue of Robert E. Lee in Richmond yesterday. It'd been there since 1890. So 100, if my math is right, over 130 years, that statue had been in that location in downtown Richmond. And I don't know where that statue is going to be relocated, but they used to have a Monument Avenue and they had all these different Confederate generals. And they pulled all these statues down, and Robert E. Lee was the last one. So we've talked about this before, Buck. I am a Civil War history nerd. I actually went to Civil War sleepaway camp at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. So I have spent an inordinate number of hours of my life reading all about the Civil War. And only in the last, I would say, 5 or 6 years has this massive argument to tear down all of these Civil War monuments and memorials really taken root. And it's madness. It's absolute madness. It is Taliban-like in terms of its censoring and removal of history. If something upsets you, I talked about this at my alma mater. They paid millions of dollars, Buck, to sandblast the word Confederate off of Confederate Memorial Hall, which was built by the United, you know, the Daughters of the Confederacy. They gave the money to allow it to be built. Now it's just Memorial Hall. But wherever you lived, I think this is important, and I think a lot of people need a history lesson, and this is not going to surprise people that we have a real woeful lack of knowledge about history, particularly American history in this country. Whatever state you lived in the 1860 or 1861, like 99%, that was the side that you ended up fighting on. So this idea that there were people making choices on whether they were in the North or the South and where they were going to fight based on larger societal issues. If your state seceded, you fought for the South because that's where you lived, and people really didn't leave their states. They were like countries. And that's how you ended up. Your allegiance was a geographic reality, not some sort of good versus evil modern day Civil War Disneyfied fairy tale, which is what so many people want to believe. So this idea that by tearing down statues, we're making America in any way better. And this is where Trump was right in a big way, because he said it doesn't end here.
Oh my gosh,
and
Clay,
you've seen it.
I live close, a close walk to Columbus Circle here in New York City. And as of, I haven't walked by it maybe in a couple of weeks now, but as of a couple of weeks ago, there is still a big metal barricade fence around Columbus Circle, and there are NYPD units in, sometimes they're in substantial numbers. I've seen as many as over 100 officers there when it's near Columbus Day, but there are people who have to be there on constant watch because there's a real fear that the Antifa lunatic left is going to come in and deface and or maybe even destroy and topple this statue of Christopher Columbus in Columbus Circle in New York. Remember, it started, it always happens this way too. It started out with the Confederate monuments back in July of 2020. That's when all this got going. There was someone shot at a statue of Juan de Oñate, I believe it was in New Mexico, who was a Spanish conquistador that, let's be honest, 1 in 1,000 people max.
That's
in this
high
country. Yeah, that might be too. Know who Juan de Oñate is?
I have no idea. Yeah.
But they're always, you know, it's a genocide, conquistador, all this. They were going after Junipero. I'm forgetting. There was a
Tore down a statue of Abraham Lincoln in Illinois, the land of Lincoln. They tore down statues of Ulysses Grant. They tore down statues of George Washington. They were going to go after Andrew Jackson if the president hadn't been able to try to defend the Andrew Jackson statue in Lafayette Park.
Protesters ripped down, this was from the Sacramento Bee, protesters ripped down a statue of Junipero Serra. There was Juan de Oñate and there's Junipero Serra. He was the guy who was a missionary who established Spanish missions in California. Clay, being a missionary at that point in time, was imperialism and white supremacy, and therefore they have to tear down that statue too. So priests, I mean, they actually tore down at one point a statue of Gandhi in the UK. I mean, they were tearing down statues of abolitionists in some places because they just didn't know. They thought, oh, it looks like a guy from the Civil War.
It's right.
He was a guy fighting to end slavery. But anyway, they don't care.
Well, Lincoln and Grant kind of had something to do with the North winning the Civil War, and their statues got torn down as well. And it's I looked at the picture because I was actually curious as they took down the statue. Who do you think was standing around the statue celebrating?
Well, I mean, they were chanting. There was a BLM chant as the statue came down.
Mostly white people showing up at the Robert E. Lee statue to cheer the fact that it was being torn down.
Yes.
And this is like the white liberal who has bought into the idea that they are the savior, right? The white liberator. It is a fundamental failure of American history. And by the way, Ralph Northam, Mr. Blackface himself, also said, it's finally time to tear down these insurrectionists, trying to connect it to January 6th, of course. And when we come back, Buck, you have got a list of this ridiculous,
amazing. The woke time capsule, folks, that's going into the statue for a future generation to open.
I haven't heard this, so you're going to share this
You're going to love it. I can tell you not a lot of what you would expect. That much I can tell you. We'll come back into it, though, in just a minute. But, you know, there are some homeowners out there who don't believe a refinance can save them that much money. I mean, I just read the other day that there are folks who don't realize what the rates currently are, because when you know now is the time to lock in a great rate to save you a lot of money. I mean, month to month, we're talking about serious cash, up to $12,000 a year that you can save, but you got to go with the right lender. Rates are still near all-time lows, and there's a good chance you can benefit from it right now. That's why you need American Financing. Their custom loans are saving people up to $1,000 a month. American Financing is who I'm going to for my next loan. You should too. All right. You need to check this out. You can save up to $12,000 a year. All you have to do, Clay, tell the folks, how do they reach American Financing?
Yeah, look, I think this is important. We're now rolling into the fall. You know how expensive the end of the year ends up being. You're buying Christmas presents for everybody. Your kids are back to school. It's costing so much money there as well. How much difference could an extra $1,000 a month mean in your life? How much difference could $12,000 a year mean for you in your life? Don't put this off any longer. Call 800-777-8109 and you can save up to $1,000 right now. Lowest rates of most of our lives. If you haven't refied, if you haven't gotten pre-qualified, you know how competitive the home buying process is. You really need to just take the time and save yourself a bundle. 800-777-8109. 800-777-8109. Or you can visit AmericanFinancing.net. American Financing, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What goes into the woke time capsule?
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck, and I'm going to tell you this right now. You would not. This is like, I remember when I was a kid, and I went to a Catholic school here in New York, and when we were really little, like first grade, kindergarten, there was a jelly bean jar, and we played a game where you had to guess how many jelly beans. And if you got like close enough to the number, you know, you'd get the whole thing in jelly beans.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I could tell you right now. We also had I had one teacher who used to throw Starburst to you if you could get random bits of sports trivia, usually baseball.
How'd you do?
I didn't need the candy, fortunately, because I did not do well. But other kids were always like, Joe DiMaggio, you know, they would
have
get a...
you, by the way, speaking of the candy toss and also the time capsule, have you ever participated in a time capsule yourself? When I was like in first grade, we did a time capsule in my elementary. I don't know when they're actually going to pull it
what
out.
What happened? Although we did
put up... I don't know why they did it. I don't really remember any of the details. I remember we put something in there, and I still remember like the time capsule being, you know, put somewhere underneath the school. Right. But I don't know when they're actually going to pull it out. I remember thinking that I would be alive when it happened, but I'm not sure what's actually in there.
We have a photo of you that went up on clayandbuck.com from, was that your high school graduation photo? You had sort of long behind the ears hair of like the guy playing bass from Stone Temple Pilots or like Soundgarden or something.
I looked a little bit like Gavin Rossdale, if you remember him from Bush.
Handsome lead singer Bush. No. Look at this.
I'm saying my hair looked like
the one,
him.
The one married to Gwen Stefani, that guy. I like the PR move. That was smooth.
It was a good look. It was a good look on the hair.
So, back to the time capsule. Now we've told you more you ever need to know about our grammar school days. What's going into this time capsule? It's at the pedestal. I mean, here, just so you know, from 1887, they put in a time capsule in the 40-foot concrete pedestal that was at the Robert E. Lee Monument that has been replaced. And now they filled it with new artifacts, and it's going to go, I forget where it is. I'll tell you in a second. But what have they put in it? A BLM sticker, an expired COVID vaccine vial, a photo of a Stop Asian Hate protest, and a Virginia is for Lovers badge. Now, the one that to me is the most, the Stop Asian Hate protest, Clay, that whole thing lasted about 2 weeks because people started saying they would see the photo of the individual or the video of who had attacked the Asian or Asian American individual. And it was very hard to make the case that it was a white supremacist Trump supporter. So that went away.
But it was always almost exclusively all these things that went viral for a very short period of time. Black guys beating up Asian people. And by the way, that Babylon Bee had a great headline. Do you remember seeing this headline?
They have a lot of great headlines. They do a really fantastic job.
That's a great brand, great website. But they had, Asian Lives Matter. They had, you know, Hispanic Lives Matter and Black Lives Matter. And the headline was, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, Asian Lives Matter sign makes it suspiciously close to All Lives Matter, right? Which is actually really funny, because All Lives Matter, we were told, is racist, right? Like, if you say, hey, everybody matters, all lives matter. Oh, it's, how dare you? That's, in fact, that's on, I think, the white supremacy pyramid we were talking about earlier that Google was training its people. If you say all lives matter, that's white supremacy.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you look at the we should go back to some more of that. We that didn't get pyramid. Through all of the Google, the
Columbus,
Google critical,
Columbus,
critical race theory training.
Columbus Day.
Yeah, well, that
is also white supremacy.
That's not new. That's not. They've been saying that Columbus, as a purveyor of genocide and indigenous enslavement, has been around now for years. They hate Christopher Columbus. But as we all know, one of the problems is, if we're going to start pulling down monuments, we didn't even get to this before, and we have this time capsule here, the left only forestalls the argument about how can we have Washington, D.C. named for George Washington? How can we have the Jefferson Memorial? How can we have any of these things of the American founding, if we're going to not only judge by the standards of wokeness today, but also to take action and erase, or, you know, whitewash different aspects of our history, whatever it may be? How can we create this stop of the iconoclasm, right? And the answer is that they just aren't there yet. It's kind of like, we're going to get you to all get the shot, and then the booster shot's going to come in 6 months. We all know that's going to happen, but they just don't want to make the case yet.
Well, it's also interesting when they apply their own woke standards. You know, Martin Luther King, who has a memorial as well, said that being gay was a mental illness. Like, you should get treatment if you were gay. That was not a wildly outlandish opinion for somebody to have in the 1950s, right? But by the standards of modern woke culture, Martin Luther King should be canceled for his opinion in the 1950s that being gay was a mental illness. That's an unacceptable opinion to have today. And so if you apply, which is the problem here, if you apply 21st century standards for behavior to people who lived hundreds of years ago, or even 50 years ago, they don't live up to it. And the real irony here is, as anyone who has ever studied history knows, the same people judging today, the uber woke among us, are going to be found lacking hundreds of years from now for some things that we are doing that they have decided are inappropriate in 200 years.
I think you can dramatically accelerate that timetable, because the super woke part of it is that there's like an ideological cannibalism at the heart of this. They eat each other,
yes,
as part of the proof of how woke they are. Occasionally, someone will get caught up in the gears of the ever-changing wokeness, because that's, yes, a way to keep all the rest in line, right? To know that what you said a year ago is unacceptable. Now, there's also the double standard phenomenon. So then it really comes down to, how important are you to the left, right? If you're,
yes,
Barack Obama, for example, 2008, yeah, you run as a traditional marriage candidate, totally forgivable because you're Barack Obama, but you're the Mozilla CEO, who I'm not even sure, the former one, I forget the guy's name now, who around the same time was supporting the proposition in California. Oh, look at this. We can tease California coming up in a minute with Larry Elder.
That's right.
Or what's going on with Larry. We don't have him on the show today. But that guy has to get fired from his job at Mozilla because, you know, that was unacceptable.
How dare he violate the tenets of
Speaking of California. That's what we're going to be diving into here in a second. We've got Larry Elder attacked. The media doesn't care. Attacked by a person in a gorilla mask with eggs thrown at him. I can assure you, if this were a Democrat, if this were a minority Democrat, a minority female Democrat, oh, there'd be such outrage. But you're probably hearing about it, some of you, for the first time on this show. We'll break that down for you, plus the California recall and much more, coming up on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie, because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.